This morning's reading is taken from Ephesians 4, verses 1 to 16. Unity in the body of Christ. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who ascended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does his work. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Sandra. I love that Bible passage. There is so much contained in it. It is incredibly dense, filled with good stuff. We could probably preach 20 or 30 sermons. But fortunately for you, I'm also quite dense, and so I will just preach one quite simple one. Because today I want to speak about calling. What does it mean to be called by God as individuals and as a church? And how do we live that out? Verse 1 of this passage says, I urge you, therefore, to live a life worthy of the calling that you have received. Now, on first reading, living a life that is worthy, well, that sounds quite tough, doesn't it? Living a worthy life sounds quite high pressure, maybe even completely impossible. Maybe all right for everyone else who's better than me, but not for me. I can't live a life that's worthy. But actually, this verse is a pressure-off kind of a verse. It's a be free sort of a verse. Because what it says is that we need to live a life worthy of the calling that we have received. Let me illustrate. A few years ago, I went on a stag do, and we went paintballing. Now, I imagine that you're sitting there thinking, yeah, Ben's probably pretty good at paintballing. But actually, there are a few things that being blind means it's tricky to do when paintballing, such as aiming, moving quietly through underbrush and foliage, and having the faintest idea which direction you're facing. So I'm not brilliant. And the way that it was working was we were in teams. My team was the group of lads who I was on a stag do with, and we were playing against other teams who we didn't know. And in the first game, I just got splattered with paint very quickly and was out of the game. So for the second game, we thought we would try something different as a way of making use of my rather dubious talents. The second game, our team had to try and steal a flag that was hidden in a sort of a wooden fort in a clearing in the middle of the woods. And the opposing team had to protect the flag and stop us from getting there. So our genius plan was that the rest of my team would very quietly and surreptitiously move into position around the wooden fort. And then I, at a few minutes in, would go up this kind of big, wide path that was very straight, so I could just walk in a straight line out of it, making as much noise as possible as a distraction technique so that my team could sneak around the back and get in. The idea was that one of my teammates would have quietly got himself into position just off this path, close to the fort, and that when I got near, he would call me with a and I would then dive sideways off the path behind the hedge, thus avoiding all the paintball pellets that would be firing at me. What we didn't really think about was the fact that there was another chap who would be moving from sort of round behind the fort who would also be giving a signal to others to get in, and his signal was also so what happened was they moved into position, and at the appropriate time, I began to, and you know, I like to give my all to things, I ran up this path, waving my arms and shouting something ridiculous like, "For England, King Harry and St. George!" And it all was going well until I didn't hear my particular call, but instead heard the call of from someone behind the fort. So instead of diving off to the side, I carried on pelting it up this path to the fort, beyond the fort, and across to the other side, at which point I stopped, realizing that something had gone horribly wrong, and just stood there, confused, with my back to the wooden fort. It would have been a brilliant distraction technique had anyone on my team been focusing, but instead they were all just falling about in silent laughter. And there was silence for a moment, as the other team just gazed at this weirdo running past the fort and then stopping with his back to them. The silence was then exploded as 17 paint guns opened fire, hitting me right on the, well, I'll just say I couldn't sit down for the rest of the day. The moral of this story is this. If we follow someone else's call, it's confusing, ineffective, and quite often painful. We're not called to follow anyone else's call. We're called to follow the calling that we have received. I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling that you have received. And that is pressure off. Because it means I don't have to follow the calling that you have received, and you don't have to follow the calling that I have received. I don't have to be as good at all the stuff that Gary is good at. And Gary doesn't have to be as good at all the stuff that Rose is as good at. We don't have to look around and judge ourselves against other people. Because I don't have to live up to anyone else's calling apart from mine. I just have to try and be worthy of the calling that God has given to me. And the good news about that, it says later on in this passage, is that Christ has apportioned us the grace that we need to be able to do that. So we only have to be the best us that we can be. I only have to be the best me that I can be. You only have to be the best you that you can be. And God's given us everything that we need in order to be able to do that. It's wonderful news. I hope you find that releasing this morning. Because whoever you are, whatever's going on in your life, however you've come, you don't need to judge yourself compared to anyone else. But simply try and follow what God is calling you to do. And he's equipped you with what you need to be able to do that. We'll come back to that in just a moment. But this also goes for churches as well. We here at St. Luke's simply have to follow the calling that God has given to us. We don't have to be worthy of the calling of the Salvation Army or of St. John's or of KCC or of the Catholic or Methodist churches. She's got to be worthy of the calling that God has given to us here at St. Luke's. And at this time, I'm not really interested in us having a really fancy vision statement and all that kind of stuff. If you look on our website, we've got some really good stuff about what we believe God wants us to be. But what I've been reflecting on this week is our very simple strapline or motto that we have as a church. And it's a motto that was come up with long before I arrived here. But I love it. So our strapline, our motto here is living God's love. It's gloriously simple, and yet at the same time, really quite profound. It might seem incredibly vague, and frankly, couldn't any church have that as their strapline? Well, maybe they could, but we do have it as ours, and that says something about us, about who we are and who we believe God is calling us to be. And so very briefly, I want to look at each of those words. So living God's love. Living is an active word. We're not interested in being passive here at a church. We're not interested in being the kind of church where we sit around looking inwards until we all die off one by one. We believe that we are called to be active in serving God. And following on from what I was just saying, the great news is there's all sorts of different ways that we can serve him as individuals and as a church. There's a list here in this passage of some of the ways that people might be called to serve God. So apostles, evangelist, prophet, pastor, teacher. And we've got people in our church here who are gifted in each of those areas. As it happens, I'm a rubbish evangelist. I think it's really important to tell people the good news about Jesus, but I'm just not very good at it. Thankfully, we have people in our congregation who are really good at that. We have people in our congregation who are prophets. Now, that sounds like a big old deal, doesn't it? But actually, prophecy is simply listening to what God is saying and then speaking it. We've got people who are amazing at doing that. People on our PCC, people in leadership roles. For me personally, I think probably I'm gifted as a pastor teacher. But it may well be that you are someone who just loves looking out for other people. You love caring for those around you. Well, maybe you've got the gift, the spiritual gift of being a pastor. Apostleship is really the gift of leadership, and we've got people in our congregation who are gifted in that area. But even if none of those strike you as something that you're any good at, don't panic. There's loads of gifts, loads of lists of spiritual gifts in the New Testament. Loads and loads of them. So there's like the spiritual gift of wisdom. Maybe if you're someone who loves reading the Bible and trying to make sense of it, maybe you've got the spiritual gift of wisdom. There's the spiritual gift of hospitality. I think there's lots of people in our church here who have that wonderful gift. Maybe if you love looking after people or welcoming people, maybe you have the spiritual gift of hospitality. There's the spiritual gift of administration. Very often overlooked, and yet a crucial and essential spiritual gift. Maybe if you're good at organizing stuff, you have the spiritual gift of administration. You'll be delighted to know that Jeanette, our parish administrator, has been very blessed with the gift of administration, along with many others. There's a spiritual gift of helping. Now, that's really important, because it might be that what you're really good at is helping other people to get the best out of themselves. Maybe you're not interested in the limelight, but you're really good at helping others to do the things that they need to do to follow God's call on their lives. So you see, there's loads of different spiritual gifts. And the point is that we all have a part to play. You are important. And it might be that you don't recognize the value of your importance, but let me tell you that I do, and our church leadership does. Because everyone has a part to play. Paul describes the church as being like a body. And what he means by that is that in order for a body to function effectively, you need all the different bits of it to be functioning effectively. And sometimes that means that it's the hand, sometimes it's the liver, or the spleen, or the kneecap, or the tibia, or whatever it might be. And some of those are really visible, and some of those really aren't. But all play their part. I also want to say that actually, there are times where bits of the body need a rest, and that is also okay. So I did a fairly long bike ride on Tuesday, and my quads were relatively sore afterwards, and so on Wednesday when I did exercise, I rested those and did some weights instead. By the way, I know you're all thinking, why doesn't this show in how you look, Ben? And just blame Cadbury's for that. But there are times where it's absolutely right for individual bits of the body to have a rest, and that's absolutely right here. If you're here and at the moment, what you need is just to rest, that's fine. If you're still resting in 5 years, we might need a conversation. But resting is okay. But as a general rule, all of us have a part to play because God is calling us into active service as part of his kingdom and as part of this community here at St. Luke's. So that's living. Secondly, the second word is God's, because of course, we are not just a community group here. We are here because of God. We are here in him and through his power and for him. That is our purpose. And so what we believe is really important. And in this passage, Paul speaks of lots of ones. There is one body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of mankind. And we believe those things. There are things which unite us, which hold us together because we believe them. Theology is important. But in this passage, Paul also speaks about the fact that we don't always all believe exactly the same things. So he says, make sure that you keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. He wouldn't need to say that if that happened naturally all the time. There are times where we might disagree, where we might have differences of opinions. And I want to say that that is welcomed in this church. This is not the type of church, and as we look forward, it's not going to be the type of church where everyone has to either believe the same thing as the vicar or pretend to believe the same thing as the vicar. Just not interested in that. Actually, my hope is that, as Paul says in this passage, that each of us will be growing to maturity in our faith. And maturity in faith doesn't mean that we have all the answers. What it means probably is that we're increasingly aware that we don't have all the answers, but we are seeking to wrestle with those things and to grow closer in our relationship with God. And that is my hope for us here. And that as we do so, when we do have differences of opinion, that we can keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And actually, I think that's something that we're really good at here as a church, and I want us to promote and foster that as we go forward. So living God's love. So what we're doing both in our theology is all about love. What we're doing in our action is all about love. Any of you who've remained awake through my sermons over the last year and a half will know that for me the most important thing about God is that God is love. Not just that he's a little bit loving or even very loving, but that he is love. And everything stems from that. And so what we're looking to do here is to show God's love to one another. We do that in a variety of ways. In this passage, it talks about speaking the truth in love. So we should be able to challenge one another as long as we do that in a way that is truly loving. We're looking to show God's love in our families, neighborhoods, and networks because we are church when we are not in this building just as much as we are church when we are here. We're looking to show God's love in our local community by the things that we do. That's why we do things like Encounter, Snowdrop, Youth Cafe, etc., and lots of other things. And we're looking to show God's love in the world. That's why we give money away to charities that do wonderful work in different places, some local and some further afield. It's also why we're passionate about being an eco-church, because we want to show God's love for God's creation, but also for those around the world who at the moment are suffering most because of what we've done and are doing to God's creation. So everything we do is about God's love. So as we go forward this year, my hope is that we will continue to live God's love together, that we will actively, theologically, in God and through God, show his love to one another and to the world around us. I think if we do that, we won't go far wrong. The final verse in the passage that Sandra read to us, verse 16, says this: from him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So from him, from God, everything comes from him. The whole body, that is us, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, that's each one of us, grows and is built up in love. So we're looking to grow, sure, numerically, but more importantly, we're looking to grow in love. That's the point, to grow and be built up in God's love as each part does its work. So we all have a responsibility. This isn't my church or Clive's church or the PCC's church. This is your church. This is our church. And so each of us has a part to play. So we are incredibly grateful to God for all that he has been doing. And we're incredibly hopeful of what he will be doing as we look forward to this next year. Let's live God's love as we individually and together as a church seek to live a life worthy of the calling that we have received. Amen.